The stars came out that night, dazzling in their brilliance and clarity. Ford and Arthur had walked more miles than they had any means of judging and finally stopped to rest. The night was cool and balmy, the air pure, the sub-ether sensormatic totally silent. A wonderful stillness hung over the world, a magical calm which combined with the soft fragrances of the woods, the quiet chatter of insects, and the brilliant light of the stars to soothe their jangled spirits. Even Ford Prefect, who had seen more worlds than he could count on a long afternoon, was moved to wonder if this was the most beautiful he had ever seen. All that day they had passed through rolling green hills and valleys, richly covered with grasses, wild scented flowers, and tall, thickly leaved trees. The sun had warmed them, light breezes had kept them cool, and Ford Prefect had checked his sub-ether sensormatic at less and less frequent intervals and had exhibited less and less annoyance at its continued silence. He was beginning to think he liked it here. So far, they had wandered purely at random, but now they struck out firmly eastwards, feeling that if they were going to explore this world, they should have some clear idea of where they had come from and where they were going. Shortly before noon, they had their first indication that the world they had landed on was not an uninhabited one. A half-glimpsed face amongst the trees watching them. It vanished at the moment they both saw it, but the image they were both left with was of a humanoid creature, curious to see them but not alarmed. Half an hour later, they glimpsed another such face, and 10 minutes after that, another. A minute later, they stumbled into a wide clearing and stopped short. Before them, in the middle of the clearing, stood a group of about 24 men and women. They stood still and quiet, facing Ford and Arthur. Around some of the women huddled some small children, and behind the group was a ramshackle array of small dwellings made of mud and branches. Ford and Arthur held their breath. The tallest of the men stood little over 5 feet high. They all stooped forward slightly, had longish arms and lowish foreheads, and clear, bright eyes with which they stared intently at the strangers. Seeing that they carried no weapons and made no move towards them, Ford and Arthur relaxed slightly. For a while, the two groups simply stared at each other, neither side making any move. The natives seemed puzzled by the intruders, and whilst they showed no sign of aggression, they were quite clearly not issuing any invitations. Nothing happened. For a full 2 minutes, nothing continued to happen. After 2 minutes, Ford decided it was time something happened. "Hello," he said. The women drew their children slightly closer to them. The men made hardly any discernible move, and yet their whole disposition made it clear that the greeting was not welcome. It was not resented in any great degree, it was just not welcome. One of the men, who had been standing slightly forward of the rest of the group, and who might therefore have been their leader, stepped forward. His face was quiet and calm, almost serene. He said quietly. This caught Arthur by surprise. He had grown so used to receiving an instantaneous and unconscious translation of everything he heard via the babelfish lodged in his ear that he had ceased to be aware of it, and he was only reminded of its presence now by the fact that it didn't seem to be working. Vague shadows of meaning had flickered at the back of his mind, but there was nothing he could get any firm grasp on. He guessed, correctly as it happens, that these people had as yet evolved no more than the barest rudiments of language, and that the babelfish was therefore powerless to help. He glanced at Ford, who was infinitely more experienced in these matters. "I think," said Ford, out of the corner of his mouth, "he's asking us if we'd mind walking on round the edge of the village." A moment later, a gesture from the man-creature seemed to confirm this. Continued the man-creature. "The general gist," said Ford, "as far as I can make out, is that We are welcome to continue our journey in any way we like, but if we would walk round his village rather than through it, it would make them all very happy. So what do we do? I think we make them happy, said Ford.